It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, and I'm pleased to be joined by the members of Random, Jeff Ament, Joseph Arthur, and Richard Stuvered, all in the studio with us. Welcome, guys.
How Scott. You doing?
Now, Joseph has been here. Joseph, you've been here a couple of times, so you're really a veteran of KCSN, so you helped them find the last 50 yards, right?
Yeah, well, I still need a Browns banner up on the wall, but
that's true. And by the way, I must thank the band for your. I compliment you on your color scheme of utilizing orange, and I assume that Joseph had some influence in orange being part of the color, at least.
I influenced it. I mean, most of the visual stuff's been Jeff's idea, but I kind of like, you know, when we rehearse, sometimes I'll sneak into his room when he's sleeping and go Browns, orange, orange. And then he was like, hey, what about orange?
I had this horrible
I'm like,
nightmare.
That's a great idea.
Jim Brown was my dad.
Yeah. Yeah, we've lived that nightmare for far too long. Now, in all seriousness, though, one of the things that this band has really adopted is you really are integrating your respective love for the visual arts as much as the musical arts, and you're cognizant of that in having the stage and the look and the clothes you're wearing.
But who didn't want to be in Devo or Kiss when you were a kid? I mean, both those, you know what I mean? Like, we all wanted to be like comic book heroes, and this is kind of it's been really fun. Like, it definitely gives you some weird, like, super, like the shows that we put the masks on at the beginning of the show, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like,
gives you energy.
You feel an energy, yeah.
Yeah, right before we did Jimmy Fallon, I said to Jeff, I was like, because I thought that ship had sailed, but I said, you know, the dream was always to be in Kiss, and now I'm finally in Kiss. This is awesome.
I still can't walk through Williamsburg without looking for her there. Every woman with falling eyes and darkness in her head. I see someone that she might be, but I'm still not sure. I stare at her arms, waist, and hips and remember what was pure. She finally turns around. I know that it's not her. She is someplace far away and not this caricature. Yes, I do, to go somewhere she'll never be, a ghost without a face. Practice my amnesia, practice letting go. Cast her in forgotten lands where all is buried. I don't love you. Don't tell me you're all right, 'cause I know you're not, and you know I do.
Now, I worked with Joseph for a while. Yeah. Well, actually, I guess in a sense, I worked with you in the very beginning. Yeah. But, you know, I worked with you on the Fistful of Mercy tour, and it still remains a real question for me when artists get together and decide to. It's one thing to get together and play because you respect each other and you want to vibe and see what you can do, but it takes a commitment to go the next step to say, well, we're going to record a record too. And then it takes another commitment to say, well, now we're going to tour. How is it that this all came together? What was the driving motivation and, you know, what really pushed it forward?
Well, I think the reason that it happened was because there was no plan. I mean, we went in the studio with the idea that it was just going to be fun and we were going to maybe teach each other a few tricks and write a few songs together in the process. And you know, it became apparent 2 days in, even though we were sort of joking about European tours and world domination and all that stuff, jokingly, 2 days in, we were like, wow, this is actually starting to feel like a record, and it's kind of starting to feel like a band. And
and I think, if I may say so, the chemistry.
Yeah. I to be honest, I hate touring. I hate, you know, it's like all the in-between time.
You
like
don't
traveling.
Seem to, though.
I mean, I love to travel. And to be honest, like, we're having such a good time playing out here but the reason that I signed up for it was because we made a great record. And I thought, well, these songs are going to be fun to play live. And knowing that there was actually some growth that was going to happen to the song, like, you could tell that the songs were going to grow. And so it's, you know,
And also, sorry to interrupt, but like the energy of, like, you have, like, sometimes you get into bands and you're always like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to, you know, and you never do it. You never, like, but this band, we're like, we're going to wear masks and we're going to, like, be all orange. And it's all come to fruition, which is really wild, you know.
And the joy, you know, of playing even in this setting and in radio, you know, and listen, you know, these things... I know aren't always fun for artists, but I was watching the joy of you guys really finding those songs, even in the context of a radio performance studio. You know, you were locking in with each other, so you can see it's apparent.
And any time that you turn around and look at Rich playing the drums, he's like a kid in a candy store. Really, I mean, that's infectious. Like it.
I really feel like the luckiest drummer on the planet. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I'm such a huge Joseph Arthur fan. Jeff Amen is my rhythm section brother from another mother. So, you know.
Isn't his name Jeff Amen?
Did I mispronounce it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point being, you know.
Where do they go when they disappear, the people that she used to know? And where do they go when the midnights are over and the make you still wearing all the clothes with faces falling down all around like snow? Each one sings a song. For another star, and where did you go and do up? You hypnotize until they don't know who you really are. Faces falling down all around like snow. Each one sings a song. your voice out there somewhere, speaking as though it was for me. As I sit here in silence, watch your faces fall and shatter all around my feet, with faces falling down.
Now, two of you are longtime Seattle stalwarts, and Joseph, originally, as you mentioned, Devo, I'm looking over at him, an Akron guy who pretty much has lived, New York, sort of your
home, New York.
You've not been afraid to...
I love Ohio.
Wherever you lay your hat.
Ohio, I can't quit you.
Yeah,
right. I wish I could quit you.
So there obviously is a longtime history between you two going back to the late 80s. When did this connection get made with Joseph?
I'm the Gary Sharon of this band.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm the third singer of this band.
Van Arthur. I first heard about Joe, Three Fish was looking for an opening band, and my dream opening band at that time was Drummers of Burundi, which were on Peter Gabriel's label, and...
I was your second choice.
I had lunch with Peter, and Peter said, "Well, the drummers of Burundi, it would be impossible almost to get them over here, but you should check this guy out." And Joe's first record had just come out in Real World, and so we gave Joe a call. And to be honest, like the first time that I saw Joe, I mean, I was blown away. Like what he was doing with the Looper, and how I think you're only playing like a half an hour, but you'd do like two or three loop songs, and then you'd play songs in between, and it was all really seamless. And I thought, man, that's an amazing one man act right there. That's a cool dynamic, like musical performance. Like, and so I've been a fan ever since. I mean, I have all like 12 records and 43 EPs. I mean, I do. I mean, he doesn't. You know, they're all great records, and they're on their own. So,
he, as I said, it's his third time here.
Yeah.
So obviously, he knows that we've got his back. You know, that's interesting that the history goes back that far.
Yeah.
That this obviously wasn't like in the last year. Maybe we should do
something. And David Garza was opening. Actually, I opened up for him, who opened up for Three Fish on that tour or on a few shows, and then David opened up for us in the first wing of this tour. So it's kind of like,
wow,
real full circle.
That's
stuff.
Tremendous yeah. stuff. It's great when see, and that speaks to obviously the personal connections that were made through the road and through, touring and the way the business will bring artists together. But
Jeff is such a supportive character. I mean, Richard and I were talking about it when he wasn't there, after like talking a bunch of crap about him too,
but the stuff you'll say
but
out loud.
The nice
in
stuff we said after the mean stuff was that he's like, because he's been supporting, super supportive of Richard for a long time, and he's always supported me sort of as well, and just like bringing this whole band together and kind of facilitating a lot of the fact that the wacky dreams we've had about like visual stuff have like come to fruition is kind of down to him a lot, and I don't know, it's cool. It's just cool to be in a band with a character who's analytical and gets things done, but also is a freak.
Open-minded.
like it's a rare combination.
Well, and that kind of would be a question that, I worked with you on Fistful and saw how you guys really collaborate and there was a genuine, appreciation for each other. I got to work and went on the road with Stone, with Brad.
Yeah.
And in all due respect, it's a commitment when you leave the Pearl Jam scale of life and you're in the van and you're lugging your own equipment because you believe in the band. You know, that is that something that ever even enters your mind? Or is it, you know what, this is a totally different thing and everything begins and I'm lugging my equipment and I'm loving doing it. I'm assuming that's where your head is about this stuff.
Yeah, and there hasn't really been a whole lot of time to, like, you know, even if you could get bummed out about some aspect of it, like, we've been playing shows almost every night, and the shows have been really fun and they've gotten better and better, and so it's, you know, it's hard to get bummed out. You know, it's like, this is my reality right now, and I haven't really had the time or the space to compare this to the Pearl Jam world. I told somebody the other day, I was like, if this was my only band, I'd be stoked right now. Like,
high praise.
It's a really good band.
That is high praise. So
that's a great thing to say, and it's coming across.
I don't really think he needs to quit his side project.
No. You know,
Pearl Jam can keep going.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I'm
I think there'll still be a place.
As long as he prioritizes.
Exactly.
That place where I'm born, finally all I can do is pray that everything you give to me, I will find the strength to give away. And if I'm being listened to, my mind is like a cat, you know, it's born to stray. The sky that has abandoned you is falling on your head now and turning gray. The body that imprisons you will be the dust of skin and bone. And blow across this holy land as if you were always already gone. And as your spirit drifts away with the new day coming on, the body that imprisons you will be the dust. Where I'm born, finally all I can do is pray that everything you give to me, I will find the strength to give away. The sky that has abandoned you is falling on your head now and turning gray. If I'm being listened to, my mind is like a cat, you know, born to stray. And that again, and I'm still and always in the way. My mind is like a rat across the floor, needs a place to stay. In this dark place where I'm born, oh.
I think a lot of musicians also kind of project what things should be, or how, you know, this kind of sense of idealism. And I think with us, we've just gotten together, and out of respect, and out of just, we're like just fans of each other. So that kind of translates into the music.
And it seems like that it was confirmed during the recording of the material. You know, what you felt became confirmed, and it's being reaffirmed every night when you flesh these songs out and find different ways of expressing them. It sounds like you're in that stage of, you've given birth, but now you're really watching them get up on their feet and soon run.
The soul of the band comes from being on tour and also enduring some hardships, although the hardships haven't been profound, you know. I mean, a few of the venues weren't as well attended as they could have been, and you know, but some people have real problems, you know.
Yeah. And it is, you know, that's a perspective that you're going to face that, and you know, your willingness to do things like this and to do the interviews and all that stuff is obviously going to spread the word and the awareness. But nothing, you know, these things are amplifiers. You know, the press, the media, we're just amplifiers. It's really that engagement one to one with the audience that cements the deal.
Yeah, that's true.
And when they see a great show, which tonight, at the Troubadour, they have an opportunity to.
Yeah.
We want to take care of some business and letting everyone know that what they're hearing today, not to be cliched, but it will probably go to 10, you know, or maybe even 11 on stage tonight.
Oh, it's going to go to 11 for sure.
It's going to go to 11.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, so tonight at the Troubadour, they get to see.
Full masks.
And see, that's the thing, that we've been talking about the visual look. And the idea of you guys having personas that you're developing, they get to actually see this stuff come real, as opposed to just getting the audio portion of it today, which, by the way, was tremendous. I can't thank you guys enough for the work you put into, you know, a radio session. And, you know, he knows, you know, he's got a cot here. Joseph's got a cot here, so he knows his way back. You other two guys, you come on back anytime. You always got a home here at 88.5 KCSN. It's random.